This morning, I have the privilege of reading scripture. I'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 2b to 10 in the New Living Translation. My name is Mark. I'm one of the board members here, so please follow along with me. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness with contentment in it is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can take nothing with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning. So after the last series that we had, which wrapped up 2 weeks ago, some of you may have been thinking, well, where are we going to go now? And I hope that during that series, you heard from the Lord, that you heard from the Spirit about how to be a good friend. And, you know, one of the things that surprised me as I prepared for that series was how much of the New Testament is devoted to making sure the relationships in the church are strong. Not relationships in our family, in our biological family, or our workplace, or our neighborhood, or even friends, but in the church. You know how much of the New Testament is devoted to that function itself, that you and I would have great relationships with each other. And so, Strengthening Church Relationships series was really about the one another's in the scripture. But it's not the full picture, because those are things that help to build relationships. But the Bible also talks about a lot of things that strain relationships and blow relationships apart. And that's what we want to look at today. And to sum all of that up, the things that blow relationships apart can be summed up in one word, and it is... See, I don't even need to preach this stuff. You already know. It's sin. Yeah, get out. No, I'm kidding. It's sin. And so we are going to the flip side of strengthening church relationships and into talking about sin. Because sin, from the very beginning, from the garden, has separated us from God and from each other. And it continues to this day. And Jesus came to free us from the power of sin, so that we can enjoy genuine relationships with God and with each other. Amen? That's why he came. So, before we start talking about sin, though, as you can see, there are two dangerous questions or two dangerous attitudes about sin. And they guarantee relational breakdown. The first one is, who, me? As in, sin doesn't apply to me. It applies to him or to her or to them over there. There's an implied innocence there when it comes to sin. I'm not hurting anyone. We assume also that inaction is spiritually neutral, and it's not. So who me? And the second one is, who cares when it comes to sin? We see sin as merely mistakes or errors in judgment. It's not a big deal. At worst, you know, we think we're only hurting ourselves. Rules are made to be broken, as you may hear. And so there's an apathy regarding sin. like it doesn't really matter. And we may not necessarily see immediate consequences. So once again, we assume our sin isn't hurting anyone. Both of these say, my sin is not a problem in my church, in my life, in my relationships. And that can be the attitude of anybody in the church today. Maybe everybody in the church today. And so we get to the flip side series. And I want to tell you how I prepared for this, so you have an understanding of what you're about to see in the coming weeks. And this is going to take us right through to the fall. I looked for what I call sin lists in the Bible. And these are locations in the Bible where the writer will make mention of several sins altogether. Like, avoid all of these things. Tick, 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 tick. And I found 16 of them in the Bible, almost entirely in the New Testament. And by the way, these are in the bulletin this morning. All the sin lists that I'm using for this series are in the bulletin. If you are not getting the e-bulletin, make sure you go to our information desk back there and make sure you get that e-bulletin so you can follow along in the rest of this series. So they're right there. And then I took all these lists and I put them together to find out which sins are listed the most. I don't know if I'm the only one interested in this stuff, but it's okay. So guess which sin is listed the most in the sin list? Wow, lots of pride, some hate. Sexual sin, sexual immorality is the number one thing mentioned in these sin lists. Way more often than anything else. The word porneia, which is where we get our modern word pornography. And porneia, of course, means way more than just what we think of when we think of pornography. But we'll get to that at another occasion. Second one was murder. Imagine that. Sexual sin comes before murder. And then lying and greed were third. And then slander came in fourth. And then it kind of splinters off after that. But my prayer is that during this series that we will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and convict us to the point of repentance in order to, if anything, in order to strengthen church relationships. Because sin separates. If there is tension in relationships, it's because of sin. It's such a simple formula. Ask any married couple who's been married longer than their honeymoon. You know, sin separates. If we want to be better friends, we need to let God transform us to become more like Jesus. And this series will depend on our listening. Not listening to the pastor. Listening to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's in charge of our sanctification, which is cleaning us up inside. Which every follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Cleans us up. It's one of his many jobs. To convict, to cause, to repent, and believe the truth. And because this is a spiritual battle that we are entering, we have to understand that. This series will be a spiritual battle. You are going to probably ask the question, who me? And who cares? Through this whole thing. That's the battle. It does apply to us, and it does matter. So because we are entering into spiritual warfare, let's pray. Lord, as we dive into this series, I ask that our hearts would be open to you. That as we ask, we're tempted to ask those questions, who me and who cares? May you convict our hearts. May you convict our hearts to stop looking at the sins of other people and start to look at our own. That we would look at how our own sin is damaging the relationships around us, including our relationship with you. So I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would be free to move amongst us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our decisions. May we surrender to you. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, we're going to start with these three. Division, quarreling, and dissension. And so what I did in these sinless is I kind of grouped similar sins together so we could cover them in one message. Otherwise, it would take us forever to get through this series. But so division, quarreling, and dissension. And it should be fairly obvious why these would tear at relationships, right? Division, quarreling, and dissension. And it could help explain why today there are 45,000 Christian denominations around the world. And here's a short list of contentious issues that two Christians are fighting about right now. Are you ready? This is fun. Here we go. Bible versions, seeker sensitivity, music styles, Halloween, baptism modes, roles of women, keeps on going, spiritual gifts, what to do with unbelievers in the service, divorce, tithing, the nation of Israel, politics. Oh, it's not done. I got another list. Here it comes. Here we go. Immigrants, LGBTQ approaches, end times, mega churches, swearing, drug use, including alcohol, government, how much to be involved, how not to be involved, media usage, yoga, vaccinations, eternal security, clothing. I'm still not done. One more. Here we go. Tattoos, environment, climate change, free will, Genesis 1 through 11, the age of the earth, corporal punishment, capital punishment, debt, etc., etc., etc. How do you feel about the fact that somewhere in this world, people are arguing about these things as brothers and sisters? Some of these are worthy of good discussion. Some of them, I would say, are not. But I'll let you figure out which are which. Now, here's the problem, though. The problem is we all have very strong opinions about some of these things. And to deepen that problem is just like Superman wears his uniform underneath his clothing. Some of us wear this uniform underneath our clothing. It says, I never argue, I just explain why I'm right. Now, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. And we're going to see that all sin affects relationships. So here's one of the many lists that I used for this series. It's found in Galatians. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And then he goes on to the list. Sexual immorality, there it is, number one. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Now, by the way, I should have mentioned before we started that all three of the ones that we're looking at today are in this list. And here's the first one. Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. Here's the second one. Dissension. Here's the third one. Division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and all other sins like these. Let me tell you again. Now, this is how he sums it up. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it was convenient that all three of the words that we're looking at were found in the same list, but boy, is this an answer to the who cares question. It says, those who live this way, those who make this a practice, those who do not repent of these sins, they're not going to make it. It's a sign that they're not really in relationship with Jesus. If we continue on in our sin, and the Bible talks about this a lot, those who follow Jesus will not continue in division, quarreling, and dissension. So let's take a look at each one of these. First of all, division comes from the Greek word heresis, which is mentioned 9 times in the New Testament, and it means choice, option, religious sect, faction, discord, and contention. And this is how Peter uses it in his letter to the church. He says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. Now, keep in mind, this is the context, right? He's talking about false teachers. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies, that's that word, heresis, and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. So this is someone who presents a different view of reality, a different theology, different teachings, different beliefs. You know, you may not know, but in the Alliance Church, all Alliance churches agree to the same statement of belief. It's on our website if you want to look at it. It's basically, these are the things that we believe to be true from the Bible. And they are things that are clear and mentioned often. And that's how you know something's important in the Bible. It is clear and it is repeated. So, If someone comes along in our church and teaches something contrary to those core beliefs, that is heresis. That is division. And it causes great harm because truth pulls people together and lies tear people apart. And that's why this church and every church needs to assure that from toddlers to teenagers to seniors, that the Word of God is taught accurately. It's the difference between teaching fantasy or reality. It's just that simple. Right beliefs are a matter of eternal life and death. I'll give you an example. If someone came into this church and they said, you know what? I think you can get to heaven by living a good life. That is contrary to the gospel. And if people started believing that, oh, it sends them on a very dark road. And there's going to be no joy in that at all. So it's very important that we in this church and in every church teach what the Bible actually says. So, heresis, that division, must be dealt with both lovingly and firmly. And that's why every person who becomes a member of this church agrees to that statement of faith. It's not an option. Now, it leaves lots of room for disagreement on peripheral things, but not on core things, which bring us together. Heresis, this division, it fractures the church family and pushes people away. That's division. Okay, next one, it's quarreling. This comes from the Greek word eris, which is also mentioned 9 times, and it means strife, discord, having a contentious spirit, a readiness to argue. Do you know anyone who has a readiness to argue? They're fun. So fun. And I have to say, guilty as charged on many occasions. Here's another sin list mentioned in Romans 13, and here we're going to see how this word is used. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Good start. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity. There we go again. And immoral living, or in quarreling. This is eris and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't quarrel. Don't be ready to argue. Don't play devil's advocate just for kicks. God has something to say about those who like to stir the pot. Anyone in here like to stir the pot? Here we go. This is what Paul writes to Timothy. Some people may contradict our teaching. Oh, we read this earlier. But these teachings in the Bible, they are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life, which, by the way, also promotes strong church relationships. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. Oh, boys, there are lots of fighting in the church about the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments and ends in jealousy, division, that's that word eris, slander, and evil suspicions. These people always cause trouble. Troublemakers. Quarrelsome people who like to argue, they cause trouble. They blow relationships apart. And maybe you, just like me, have found yourselves arguing over dumb stuff, and it's hurt the relationship. There's probably been times for all of us we have dug in on unimportant issues. And so it's quite common for us to be guilty of eris, which is quarreling, by insisting everyone must think and act and decide just like me. Right? Oh, and we were ready to burn bridges to do it. Sadly. How many churches today are blown apart by quarrelsome people who are contradictory, ready to fight, voicing their opposition, sometimes just to impress people or themselves? And we are given this warning. Paul writes to Titus, he says, do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights, there's eris, about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. A waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, what do you do? People are causing divisions? give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. And there we go. Once again, the truth of the matter is, and we have to all come to terms with it, the truth is, we humans fight over dumb stuff. We do. Here's Paul saying that arguing about certain things is a waste of time. And I want you to note the solution that Paul gives. It's pretty serious. What does he say? The solution is, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. I just want you to note that. This is how importantly God takes eris, quarreling. You know, we often think of big sins. I don't hear anyone mentioning quarreling as a big sin, but sin to God. It disfellowships you. Last one, dissension. Mentioned a couple times. This is the Greek word dikostasia, and it means standing apart, division, disunion, creating cliques, discord, or hostility among believers. Now, you're going to start to see in these three words, there's a lot of overlap here. But this is how it is used in Romans 16. Cause divisions. This is dikostasia. And upset people by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. This is now the second time, as we're reading these sins, that we're told we are to stay away from disunifying people. People who are hurting church relationships. These are so important to God. He says when people start making divisions in the church, you need to disfellowship them. And you might say, wait a second, Pastor. Now you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Because isn't disfellowshipping people, isn't that breaking up church relationships? How can those two things be true at the same time? The Bible is very realistic. For the sake of unity, disunifying people must exit. This is called church discipline. It is one of the most unfun things about being in leadership. It's one of the most unfun things about being in fellowship. It's not great. It's also very necessary. Dissension often happens because a brother or sister is not confronted with the truth. And we said in the friendship covenant, I will teach you what God says. We said, if I'm going to be your friend, I'm going to tell you the truth. But God says creating division, quarreling, and dissension is sin. But sometimes the church defaults to nice instead of obedient. If no one says anything and divisive people are allowed to continue in the church, it infects the entire church. It's heartbreaking. He must be protected. Therefore, divisive people cannot be allowed to stay. I'm not telling you stuff I'm making up here. This is just what Scripture tells us. This is what we are to do. Dissentious people who make cliques, they'll talk to whoever will listen. They'll create distrust. They will slander. They will criticize not to the person. They will criticize about the person. They function very much like a splitting wedge. You know what a splitting wedge is, right? It's just a little triangle thing that you put into a block of wood, and then you take a hammer and you swing and you hit it. And the thing is, there are people in the church today who volunteer for that role, to be a splitting wedge. You know who swings the hammer? It's not a hard question. Satan swings the hammer. Someone volunteers, and they may not even know they're doing it consciously. They say, I'll be that person. I'll break up the church. And then Satan comes in and gives them power. Boom. And that log is split. They are creating cliques and camps. This is bad friend behavior and leaves one alienated from others. And this is such a big issue that in Sean McDowell and Tim Muehlhoff's book, End of Stalemate, Move Past Cancel Culture to Meaningful Conversations, they noted that today 42% of pastors are seriously considering quitting. 42%. And one of the top reasons they mentioned is factions in the church who believe they'd be better off without the other group, which can be people digging their heels in on any of the issues that we just looked at earlier. Something peripheral is made central. I asked the question earlier, what's the difference between church discipline and dissension? Church discipline says, we are better with you, and this is a healthier way forward. That's church discipline. Dissension says, we are better off without you, period. So church discipline says, we want to go together, but here's a healthier way to do it. And dissension comes in and says, no, we just want to cut you off. It's cancel culture. Now, some of us like to argue, we like to be right, but here's the truth, and I hope that we all can agree on this. None of our beliefs about God are 100% correct. I need to hear more than that. We have to understand that we all come in here believing errors about God. I continue to grow every week. I have a great group of people around me who correct me continually on my oddball thinking. And I need that. And you need that. Because none of us have our theology 100% correct at this point. You know, the person who had 100% theology was Jesus. He knew it all. Now, how do we avoid the sins of disunity, division, quarreling, and dissension? Well, there are three questions that can kind of help us. First question is, am I sure I'm right? Before I start to state my case, ask the question, am I sure I'm right? I mean, how do you know? Does the Bible say this clearly and repeatedly? Remember, this is how you know something's important. Am I only using inference? Do I believe this just because this is what my pastor said? Not a good reason to believe something. Do I believe this because this is what my parents taught me? Or this is what my Sunday school teacher said in 1996? It doesn't matter. Does the Bible say it? Do you believe it because you researched it on the internet or some podcaster said it? Also not a good reason to believe something. Am I sure I'm right? It's wise to have a loose grip on our opinions. If the Bible, now here's the thing, if the Bible states it clearly and repeatedly, to me that's game over. That's just absolute truth. And that's why most Christians around the world will agree on the core of the Christian faith. Things that are clear, things that are repeated, including our Alliance Statement of Faith. On issues that are more gray, it's good for us to be open to being wrong and to ask for the Lord's help. So, first question, how do I know that I'm right? Am I sure I'm right? Number two, is it worth it? Contrary to popular belief, not every issue is worth the battle. You know, does this issue that we're talking about affect our view of God, of salvation? Is it life and death? Those are things worthy of debate, I would say. But when Paul talked about the most important things, he said, here's the things that you really got to bear down on. What did he talk about? He talked about Jesus, his life, death, and his resurrection. Those are the most important things. So if we entertain the sin of division and quarreling or dissension, every issue becomes worth the battle. And everything we disagree with is worthy of collateral damage where people get hurt and relationships are strained. We have to ask the question, is this worth it? And number three, is this the right setting? The internet is the worst place to debate anything because pixels do not communicate tone of voice or body language. A large group of people may not be the best place to have these conversations because Watching Christians fight over in-house issues may not convince a lot of unsaved people to join the faith, if you know what I'm saying. And it can even discourage other believers who are watching. As part of, is this the right setting? Am I talking to the right people? Am I talking about someone that I should be talking to? Very important. If you were to put division and quarreling and dissension, bing, 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 what's the difference? This is a review. This is what we've learned so far. Division is false teaching, which means it's very important before we pass along our beliefs that we know what we're talking about. And we have to maintain and guard our beliefs very, very carefully. Which is why, as I said in the last series, and I'll repeat it in this series, if you want to be a good friend, be someone who reads the Word on a daily basis. Please. You got to know God's Word. So division is false teaching. Quarreling is being argumentative. It's being ready to fight. You just come into a group and, man, you're ready to go. You're already wound up. Can't wait for the next debate. Here we go. And dissension is creating cliques in the church. It's being that driving wedge that makes camps within the church. And we've all seen this over and over again. Here, the question for you is, and for me, do you want to be around someone who does this? Do you want to be around someone who tells you lies? You want to be around someone who likes to argue with you, and you want to be around someone who's going to try to divide you away from everyone else? Probably not. That's why sin separates. It hurts us as a church. It hurts the church. That is why it's listed in these sin lists as something that's so serious that those who continue to practice it are not actually Christians. That's pretty serious stuff. That's how much weight God puts on these issues. So people who teach heresies are argumentative or cause divisions and break up church families and friendships and stifle unity. They're in great danger. Sometimes asking the questions, am I right? Is this worth it? And is this the right setting? These are questions that can help guide us into speaking truth and love when we need to. My prayer is that the Lord will guide us as a church, into truth and away from division, quarreling, and dissension, that we would value the relationships in this church so much that we would say, God, I don't want to be part of any one of these things. Here's what I want you to know. If in our last series, you guys are going to be able to finish this sentence. If you want to have good friends, be a good friend. In the flip side series, it's going to go like this. If you want to have good friends, don't be a bad friend. And a bad friend is someone who engages in division and quarreling and dissension. And my prayer is that not one of us in this room would even entertain that. It's so serious. And God values the relationships in church so much that so much of the New Testament is dedicated just to that. We are going to remember the Lord's table at this time. So if you're serving at one of the tables, please go ahead and go there. I chose as something to meditate on 1 Corinthians 2:2. And remember we talked about how to know what's important, how to know what's central. This is what Paul said. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. That to me says a lot. That gets right to the heart of things. Jesus Christ, the one who is crucified. See, the cross brings us together as a church because we know the cross is something we all need. If you're a follower of Jesus, you already know the cross is what you need. And we can disagree on hundreds of things amongst us, but the cross unites us. It's a reminder of God's great love for us and the severity of our sin. You see, the cross answers both the questions, who me and who cares? Yes, you, and God cares. Sin separates, damages relationships. And let's be honest. Maybe you, maybe me, have carried an attitude regarding sin of, who, me? And who cares? This is a time to repent. I'm calling us all to repent. As your pastor, I'm saying, when it comes to sin, we cannot have the attitudes, who me and who cares. If we do, if we continue in that attitude, our relationships will never get close. And maybe participated in division or quarreling or dissension. I'm also calling us to repent. And only those who really love the Lord will take these sins seriously. You understand what I'm saying? If we really want to please Christ, if we want to live for Him, when He tells us something is wrong, we go, then it's wrong. And I don't want anything to do with it. So division, teaching wrong things, quarreling, being ready to fight and dissension, creating factions in our midst, just can't be part of our lives. So as you go to the table that's closest to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to take that time to ask yourself, have I been part of these sins? Have I participated, willingly or unwillingly, have I been part of these sins? Have I had the attitude regarding sin of who, me? Who cares? And take the time to repent and say, God, I don't want to live that way. I want to live a different way. If you are not a follower of Jesus, I'm just glad you're here. Hey, don't worry. There's no pressure. You don't need to participate in this. This is for those who are following Jesus. You will go to the table nearest you. You will get a piece of cracker representing Christ's body. You will get some juice representing His blood. You're going to sit back down, and we will remember the cross of Christ, which is central to our faith, together. If you cannot get up, just put your hand up, and someone will come to you. Lord, we know You care deeply about relationships. Our relationship with You, our relationship with each other. In fact, You have said that our relationships with each other would be a testimony to the world. And so, Lord, we come to You knowing that at times when it's come to sin, we've had the attitude of, who, me? And who cares? Lord, would You forgive us? And may You help us to see the severity of sin and how much it hurts, not just us, but the people around us. And Lord, I know that You despise the sins of division, quarreling, and dissension. And Lord, for those of us in this room who participated in any one of these in any way, I ask that You'd forgive us and ask that You'd help us to repent from these things, that we would be people focused on unity and building up the church and not tearing it down. Lord, we thank You for the cross where we find forgiveness, and You are faithful and You are just, and You will forgive any sin that is confessed to You. This morning we remember Your body that was broken for us to make this possible. Thank You, Jesus. Everyone take and eat. And we remember the blood that was spilled. The blood of a new covenant. A covenant based on trust. So thank You for Your blood that was spilled for us. We trust You and You alone for our salvation. Everyone take and drink.